Well, good early morning. So we continue our study in the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 11. We've made it down to verse 8 now. On to verse 10. We're taking a little time through chapter 11. It's called the Faith Chapter or the Hall of Fame of Faith. And the writer of Hebrews is addressing these Hebrew Christians who were contemplating leaving Christ, going back to the old covenant. So, Brother Kevin, you repeat that every Sunday, right? Because sometimes we forget what we're addressing here, why the author wrote this, keeping it into the context that God's word was written and to the people was written. It helps us understand a lot better, not only God's word, but on for application for our own life. So the author was writing to these Hebrew Christians. So the reason he's taking them through this hall of faith, so to speak, in chapter 11, is to remind them that all the patriarchs that they say that they claim Judaism for, the old covenant, those people walked by faith, just like these guys, these Christians were walking by faith in Jesus. Let me tell you, the walk of faith is not easy. It is riddled with difficulties. And as we read today about Abraham, we see how this walk of faith, trusting God, trusting Christ alone, is not easy. In a world that is pounding on us, and our belief system, every day is a challenge for us to turn back away from Christ. Every day is a challenge to lure us away from Jesus into the world. If you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 8, the call of faith. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, "You will find all true theology summed up in these two short sentences. Salvation is all the grace of God. Damnation is all of the will of man." Powerful sentences they are. So the writer of Hebrews takes time to call to the witness stand various patriarchs from the Old Testament that these Hebrew Christians were familiar with. Now, we probably remember their name. We remember something about them maybe from Sunday school, or maybe we've heard a message of them. But we've covered Abel. We talked about him, the worship of faith. We talked about Enoch, that he walked with the Lord, and then the Lord took him. He never died. That was the walk of faith. Last week, we talked about Noah, the work of faith, building the ark. And today we talk about Abraham, the call of faith. So we begin reading in verse 8 on down to verse 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Let's pray together. Father God, today, in your word, Lord, we learn so much. Lord, I pray today that you pull back the layers in our own life as we hear the story of Abraham unfurl before us. God, it's like looking at a mirror to where we were and to where you're bringing us to. Teach us today from your word, God. Move by the power of your Holy Spirit here in our congregation. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, in this hall of faith that the author of Hebrews is writing to, to address the faith, to walk with Jesus and not turning back, man, he hits a home run here with Abraham. Why? Because Judaism and Christianity and even those in the Muslim, they all trace their lineage back to Abraham. Abraham was like the father of the faith for three of the major faiths in the world. But let's be real. Abraham was the first Jew. We too as Christians are part of this spiritual offspring that God promised Abraham way back in Genesis. So Abraham is a man God calls out of Ur of the Chaldees. He was a pagan who lived among pagans in a pagan city. Can't say pagan enough on this. Abraham was not a guy who was highly favored in God's eyes for any particular reason. He wasn't an Enoch that walked with God. No, he wasn't a righteous man. Abraham was a pagan. He was a pantheist. He had many gods. Yet God, in his sovereign providential plan, gave Abraham the gift of faith through grace. God called Abraham by name and told him to follow where he sent him. God promised Abram a land of his own and to bless him with many offspring. By faith, Abraham followed. He left his homeland and he went in the direction that God had told him to go. He was basically told, Abraham, get out and go. And Abraham got out and went. Well, if we could have obedience that simple, huh? God said, don't do it, we don't do it. God said, go, we go. Abraham is the patriarch father of the nation of Israel. Matter of fact, Genesis dedicates 14 chapters to Abraham. His name is mentioned over 300 times in Scripture. Abraham had a prominent part in Judaism, in the history of Judaism, and even in Christianity. The Apostle Paul referred to Abraham as an example of being justified by faith alone. Romans chapter 4, verse 3, he says, what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited him as righteousness. So the author of Hebrews is giving his audience a history lesson in their own spiritual faith. And what's so neat is that the author of Hebrews is giving us today, in 2021, that same history lesson of our own faith. Listen, coming to Jesus and living by faith as a believer is not easy. It's easy being a sinner. It's easy living for ourselves, just doing what we want to do. That's easy. It is not easy being a believer and living the life that we're called to live. And it never has been. We even see this in Abraham's life. The patriarchs of old lived by faith, and it was difficult. It was difficult for them, just as it is for us today. We learn especially in the witness of Abraham that salvation is about separating us from our sin. It's about separating us from the things that does not please God and putting us on a pathway of learning how to please God. That's a process. It's called sanctification, to grow more into the image of Christ. We learn that salvation in Jesus is about separating you and me from the inferior effects of the sinful desires of this flesh. The author of Hebrews is reminding these Hebrew Christians that people of genuine faith in God have experienced difficulties similar to what these believers were going through. What were they going through? They had a lot of pressure from everyone around them in their city to leave Jesus, this radical teacher, and go back to the old covenant that was very familiar. Go back to what you know. Go back to what you left. And listen, their families betrayed them. Their country betrayed them. The people down at the job betrayed them. Matter of fact, a lot of them lost their jobs. They lost their businesses. Their livelihoods were taken from them, all because they were followers of Christ. Now, can you imagine? They were telling them, basically, if you leave Jesus and you come back, we'll forget about everything. We'll hire you back down at the plant. You can open your business back up, and we'll make sure you get enough business in there to operate and supply for your family. You see, the temptation would be to leave Jesus and go back. The peer pressure that's there. Man, the pressure to quit and renounce a faith has always been a part of the walk of a believer, including the patriarch Abraham. Verse 8 tells us this: by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which was to be, he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. I don't know about you, but I'm not just getting in my truck and taking off somewhere with my family. And they said, "Dad, where we're going?" "I don't know. We'll just drive. We're just going. We're just going." No, we usually like to have an idea of where we're going, about how long it's going to take for us to get there. And if we lose our direction, we need to stop and ask sometimes. Our GPS is not working. Listen, Abraham is the first witness after the flood. He's the first witness after the flood that the writer of Hebrews calls up to testify about the difficulties of walking in faith, about living the life that is pleasing to God. Some 10 generations had passed after the flood. Remember, we talked about the flood last week, Noah. 10 generations from Noah to Abraham had passed. And the best that God could call out was Abraham among the pagans. How does faith respond when God calls or is leading? James, you have that first picture? This is what faith looks like when you're called out. Scripture says that you obey. By faith, he lived as an alien. That first picture, James, you got it up? All right. If you notice in this picture where Ur, the Chaldees, is at, it's lower Iraq and Iran. God told Abraham to get out and go, and what he did, you can see the progression he came up and then went into Israel, which is over against the Mediterranean Sea, or the Great Sea, on down into there, and for whatever reason, he went over into Egypt. But he went into the Promised Land. This was not a short journey, but he was from this very place. In other words, Abraham was an Iraqi that God called out and made him the first Jew. Second picture, faith looks like this. He was obedient. Now you have to understand, Abraham was not living as a nomad. This is a city or a picture or an indication of what he lived in. Abraham lived in a very sinful city, but it had all the luxuries and all the comforts of modern ancient times. He was not looking to go anywhere. Why did he want to leave all of this? He was a pagan, had many gods, pantheistic gods, and he lived in this environment. There was anything he wanted. Walmart was just down the road. It wasn't 20 miles away like it is for some of us. You see, everything was right there. The best restaurants, everything. The businesses, he had it made. He had no desire to leave this. Abraham was set up in the comforts of life. And that last picture, James, is a picture of modern-day ruins of Ur, of the Chaldees. So faith responds by being obedient, even in the most difficult situations. Remember, at this time, there is no Israel, there is no Jews, there's no chosen people of God. Only a world filled with pagans worshiping many gods. It's kind of ironic that that from Adam to Noah was 10 generations, and the people's thoughts and behaviors were continuously on sin and evil. And from Noah to Abraham was 10 generations, and the whole world was filled with paganism. What that tells me, sin has a way of infiltrating our lives when we take our eyes off of God. Our minds will wander and pursue our own desires and devices. We gravitate toward deeper sin to the point it really consumes us. So here, Abraham is living in a pagan city, had many pagan gods. He lived in a land of comfort. He was wealthy. He was intelligent. He was prominent. He studied science. As a matter of fact, he was gifted in the celestial science. In other words, he could study the stars and travel very well according to the stars. Ur was actually known for its mathematics, one of the oldest documents. It is geometry that is written out using ratios. Abraham was comfortable. He really wanted for nothing. He was not in an uncomfortable situation, wandering around, you know, as a nomad or sheep herder or low-income laborer, looking for something better. Nope. He was not out in the pasture when God called him. He was living a life of luxury. He had the best of the best. He was with his relatives. He had a great life going. He didn't need anything. He had all the comforts. Yet, he was still lost and destined for hell, even with all of life's comforts. God calls this pagan Iraqi named Abram out from a sinful life filled with wealth and comfort and knowledge and education and all these things. Man, we got to remember something. Abram was not a good man. So God worked with Enoch because he walked with God. God worked with Noah because he was already in a relationship with God. But here Abraham was, the father of the faith, living as a pagan, a wealthy pagan, not wanting anything to do with anything else but what he had already, not looking for a better life. Not looking for salvation. He was comfortable in his sin. He was not looking for God. Joshua 24, verse 2 and 3 records how Abram, his father, and his grandfather served other gods. Joshua 24, verses 2 and 3 says this: Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river," meaning over here in Ur, "namely Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Cana and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac." Abraham wasn't looking to be saved. He was with these foreign gods that his daddy served, and his son served, and his daddy's daddy served. He was all around paganism. Yet God, in his providential election, gave the gift of faith through grace to Abraham. Why Abraham? I don't know. I'm not God. God is God. But in his providential plan, Abraham was pointed out and elected for salvation among pagans. He was saved. He was called out, given the gift of faith. Listen, Abraham was not saved because he was a good man. He was not saved because he was a good and decent man because he did everything right. Nope. Abraham was saved by God's grace when he received the gift of faith. That should speak volumes to us. That it doesn't matter how hard we try to be a good man or a good woman, how hard we really try to be something, our personal righteousness is nothing but filthy rags to God. That's it. that it's in God's favor, God's divine election, that He gives us grace and calls us to faith. Gives us that gift of faith. How is faith to respond to the call that comes out? We saw in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called, the first word there, obeyed. God reached down to Abraham in grace and gave him the gift of faith. And he said, Abraham, get out of your country and go. He didn't even tell him where he was going. Now, how many of us would say, Lord, if we're going down to Walmart, we're going down to the sports center. God, where are you sending me? You send me to Texas? You send me to Alabama? Where are you sending me, Lord? He just said, get out and go. Scripture says, Abraham obeyed. Faith inspires us, motivates us, moves us to obey God. We see in Genesis 12, verse 1 and 4. He said, go forth. This is the words God's speaking to him. Go forth from your country and from your relatives and your father's house to the land which I will show you. Verse 4 of Genesis 12. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoke to him. What does your faith look like? And God has laid on your heart to do something. Are you acting on it? When God called Abram out among all of his comforts to live a life of discomfort, he called him out into troubles and didn't even tell him where he was going. God gave Abram the gift of faith through grace to respond to God's call to come out from among the life of sin. There's no other reason that Abraham would want to leave where he was at other than God's call. The gift of faith was given to him in grace, and because of that faith, he simply obeyed God. He gathered his wife and his kids and his nephew Lot and left. Didn't even know where he was going. He wasn't looking for God or for change. He was comfortable and enjoyed his sinful life. God initiated the faith that he gave to Abraham. God gave Abram that gift of faith. And God gave him the gift of grace to be saved. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, and you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You see, Abraham was spiritually dead. Abraham could not pursue God on his own because he was spiritually dead. Spiritually dead men do not get up and start following Jesus. That's it. Scripture says that before Christ, before we're given the gift of faith, we're all spiritually dead. There's no way that we can just obey God and come out from where we are and answer the call unless God has already done something in us. That's that regeneration, changing us, make us from spiritually dead to spiritually alive. For God's own providential plan, for his own understanding, he reached out to this one man, Abraham, and touched him with a gift of faith. And he came out and obeyed God and followed. Matter of fact, John 6:44 says, no one can come to me. Jesus is telling us, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is grace and all grace through faith that any one of us are saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 tells us, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. You can't work your way to heaven. You cannot earn enough merit to get there. It is by grace and grace alone. And when you have the obedience in your life that you have Christ as your Savior, you want to be pleasing to Him and give Him glory, that inspires you to do good works. And I really like what Paul Man, Paul hits it on the head here in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. He says, "For the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself." Boy, this could talk to some church people. "Don't think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so that as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." And you know, I don't have anything to brag about in me. Listen, the only reason I'm saved is because of the grace of God. I'm not a good person. Man, I struggle every day. You know the sin I hate the worst? It's the sin in me. That's the sin I hate the worst. And if that's not the sin you hate the worst, then your focus is in the wrong place. My goodness, the only reason that you're saved and I'm saved is because of the grace of God. It's not because of anything we do. We have nothing to boast about and brag about. We have nothing other than Jesus Christ. And it's in him alone that we are saved. When we think we've done something to earn this and we've got God's favor on us because we're something special, wrong. The only thing special about you, the only thing special about me is Jesus. Abraham was chosen out. He was called out. He was elected. And God gave Abraham the measure of faith. Abraham obeyed God. He was told to leave his country where his relatives and his wealth and his prominence and all these comforts were. And he packed up his family and left. Abraham left the life he knew to pursue God by faith. Listen, sometimes the will of God comes with a visible plan. You know, this church didn't just happen. It had a visible plan to it. But much of the time, God just wants us to walk with him. As we walk in faith with him, he reveals to us the place that he's called us to. Too often, we're just waiting on God to show us where he wants us to go. Yet God has to refine us and build us up and test us, our perseverance, to build us where he wants us to be. So how does he do that? Through difficulties. Remember, God would not give you step 2, step 3, and step 4 without getting you through step 1 first. And oftentimes we're intimidated by step 1. Why do you want to skip step 1? That's where he builds you up to get you where you need to be. I didn't start pastoring until I was 36. God had a lot of step 1 on me to do. a lot of step 1. I praise God for it. We'll see a few things here. See, God's call in our life is a progressive call to walk by faith. God doesn't just throw us out there. He wants us to walk the walk. He wants us to walk through the hard times and the difficulties. He wants us to get there, but it's a progressive growing in our life, a refining us, getting some things out so he can put some things in. We also see that God's calling is often challenging and difficult. Abraham was called from a life of comfort with plenty of life's pleasure into a life of hardships and difficulties. You know what the trouble in America is today? Is that we're so bent on our comfort. Man, we plan for comfort. We make goals for comfort. We work hard to be more comfortable. We want to pad our lives with comfort over and over and over again. Think about it. Not only can you have a TV, you have to have a smart TV. And not only do you need 24 inches, you need 72 inches. We need smart houses. We need Alexa somewhere in the house to run everything for us. We need to be able to crank our vehicle from the outside, you know, from the inside of the building in case it's too hot or too cold. Comfort. Is that wrong? There's nothing wrong with comfort. You know, the old plastic boat seats were not good enough anymore. We need that nice cushiony boat seat. Our lawnmower, we can't push it anymore. And we were just getting jarred around too much on that old seat, so we need the air ride seat on our lawnmower. Oh, and we need a cup holder. That never works because it gets shook up everywhere. But we want comfort and convenience. Listen, it's America's addiction. Have it your way. Have it your way. I'll get a letter from Burger King on that one. You see, we want everything bigger and better. And we spend hours and hours of work and overtime to pad our lives with comfort when God has often called us to be in difficulties. We often miss God's call and plan our lives and the plan for our lives because we're consumed with padding our lives with comforts in order to avoid difficulties. We refuse sometimes to even tithe or give to the church or give the missions or give to a benevolent cause out there. Why? Because we're too busy trying to upgrade our boat. We're too busy trying to upgrade our camper. We're too busy trying to make our house more housey. Too much recreation, too much vacation, too much hobbies, and we're stealing God's money to do it with. Tell me, we don't pad ourselves and we miss God. We miss God and what God really wants to do in our life. And man, how many missionaries today are still stateside because we can't get them overseas because there's not enough funding? Or we don't have enough money to send them there to spread the very gospel of Jesus Christ that the Great Commission tells us to do? Because in America, it's all about us. It's all about what we want and what we like. Tell you what, we ignore the Great Command and the Great Commission in order to quench our great addiction to the great comfort. We reject the difficult and troublesome situation that God called us to because we do not want to make ourselves uncomfortable even for Jesus. As we reflect over our lives, man, I don't know about you, but I'll reflect over my life and the difficulties I've been through and the hardships I've been through. It's through those things that I have grown the most. That if God is trying to get me to this place over here, but I'm over here right now and I'm giving up on God and I'm quitting God. No, God has to grow me through some stuff to get me over there. God has to grow me and he grows me through some difficulty. Our faith is only exercised through hardships and through some things that have to break us down to build us back up the way God wants us built up. And to get over here, I have to go through these things to get to step two and step three and finally get where he wants me to be. That's for you too. You're no different. Too many of us are stuck right here. Because we ain't, oh God, that's going to be hard. I'm going to have to give this. I'm going to have to work on this. Lord, I don't know if I can do all that. God called you to be faithful and obedient. The third thing we see in here is that God's calling will separate you from your sin. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says, he's telling Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house. Listen, God calls you, as he did Abraham, to separate from the sin and the people who influence you to sin. Abram's family, his father's house, the city, the country, all these pagans, here God's, he's calling Abram out and he tells him to get out. Why? Because he's around the whole city and relatives and friends that are so entrenched into paganism and sin. And he's telling them to get out. You need to leave that because peer pressure is so great. Yeah, it's going to be hard to leave, but you need to go. Separation from this sinful world is the beginning of the life of walking in faith. Several verses remind us of this. See, James chapter 4, verse 4 says, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, I urge you, brother, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Walk by faith is the call of God. It's not easy. The journey is riddled with difficulties. Verse 9 tells us this. By faith he lived
as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in the tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs. That phrase there, lived as an alien, that means that Abraham was a sojourner, a resident alien. He was dwelling alongside. Matter of fact, Stephen in Acts says that Abraham, even though he was called to the promised land, even though he obeyed God and he followed and came all the way and he was living in the promised land, he never owned one foot of ground. Acts says. Matter of fact, he lived in tents. He didn't build a big city. Abraham never owned anything but the tomb that he buried his wife in the promised land. Abraham didn't even have citizenship in the land that God had promised that he would. He's simply living alongside everyone else. He left his house, he left his land, he left his relatives, he left his city, his way of life to follow God by faith to a place that God would show him. Yet when he got there, he didn't own any land. He lived in the tent. You ever slept in a tent? Not the most comfortable place to be. But God kept Abraham in temporary housing, these tents, in this promised land, because there was a greater city that Abraham was looking forward to. Notice the spiritual picture, and I'm trying to hurry for time's sake. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees by simple faith. He left sin and all its abounding. He's called out by grace, God giving the gift of faith. He obeyed, he left. He followed God by simple faith. He left his homeland, his relatives, his friends, everything, to go to an undisclosed location. By faith, he was trusted God. Abraham lived in these temporary tents during difficult times. It sounds like us today as Christians. I'll briefly wrap this up. We live here walking by faith in Jesus in these temporary tents, these temporary bodies. Something really neat happens here. So if you picture Abraham, he left Ur of the Chaldees. He traveled in tents, never owned a foot of land where he's at, but he's always looking for the city of God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 8. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on his west and Ai on his east. There's something really interesting about these two cities. What do their names mean? Ai means heap of ruins. Bethel means house of God. Beth means house. El means God. Here is Abraham living temporarily in tents between the heap of ruins and the house of God. Listen, this sounds like the journey of believers today. Abraham was living in difficult times, but even the two cities around him, the heap of ruins and the house of God on both sides, he's living there temporarily. Listen, when God calls you out of a life of sin, that's the heap of ruins. And this journey of God, with God through life, this walk with Jesus Christ, however long your walk with him should be, you're in between this. This is only a temporary place. Listen, Christian, you're only passing through. You're headed to the house of God that was built by God, by the hands of God, who the architect is God. That's where you're headed to. Even Scripture reveals to us, this is all temporary. Is it easy? No. It's riddled with difficulties. Abraham had difficulties. The walk of faith is difficult. It's never easy. Don't lose heart. You keep persevering to the very, very end. Think about it. When you started out with your faith walk with Jesus, man, you were probably excited. Man, I'm saved. I'm born again. All my sins are forgiven. All the things that you had done in your life, Christ immediately took the guilt away from you. You were set free. There's old sin nature in you still wanting to pull you back. And from the day you get saved to the day you leave this life, it's called sanctification. That's God getting the sin out, one by one. Sometimes it takes a while to pull it all out because it's buried so deep in so many layers, but he's pulling it out. That's the hard part. That's the living in the tents right now, that God is purifying you and sanctifying you to get you where he wants you to be. Hard part is sanctification. It's that separation with the old sinful habits and lifestyle. The call of faith is exciting. The work of faith is the separation we experience from the things that we're ruining our life, or it's difficult. So what do we do while we're camped out in this life? Genesis chapter 12, the middle part of verse 8, and I'm done. It says this: "And there he built an altar to the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. Abraham worshiped, and he prayed to the Lord. Abraham's faith grew through these difficulties." Why? Because Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, that last verse we read at the very beginning, "For he was looking for a city which has its foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Abraham left the sin because God had given him the gift of faith, and he obeyed, and he walked out, and he never had a place to really call his own. He was just there. He was a sojourner living in this tent, always looking for the place that God had for him that was in the eternal kingdom. Us today, like Abraham, are called out of our life of sin. And we're journeying through this life, through the sanctification process, getting the old out, getting the sin out, getting the out of us. Knowing and looking forward to the house of God to come, the kingdom that God has built. What do we do while we're here? We worship. And we serve him. That's what we do. We can learn a lot from Abraham. We can learn so much. And there's a few more verses that we'll cover next week dealing with his life. Hold a day, Christian. I want you to know and be encouraged that when God calls you out and you walk by faith, you don't know where you're going. But just keep trusting. Keep persevering. Keep moving forward. Don't quit. Don't go back. Move forward. Why? Because there's a house of God that God is the architect and the builder of, that we're headed for. Let's pray together. Father God, today, God, thank you. Thank you for the encouragement of your word. Thank you for Abraham and the faith that he had, that you gave to him. God, that he stepped out of all the comforts of his life to follow you in difficult times. There were a lot of people who didn't like Abraham. There are so many difficult challenges. He persevered. It wasn't always the perfect walk, God. There's some Christians today who are feeling pretty guilty, God, because their walk has not been perfect. Oh, Father, I pray that you give them grace. That they call out to you, Lord, and just say, "God, here I am. I'm yours. Clean me up, God." Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing right now, what you're going to do. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand together.